Good evening. Jy weet nie geringe kan Engels praat nie, Is there any Afrikaans speaking folk around? Prys die Here. Ek het net gedink die Vrystaat het verander vanaf ek laas hier was. We were touring Australia a lot of years ago and there was a good friend of mine, Chris Barnes, he's still in the town. But he just, somebody comes up to him and asks him something to say, especially in English, he didn't want anything to do with it. So I'm going to try and explain it in English and then try and make the sort of a catchphrase that you can understand it in Afrikaans. So we were touring Australia and this lady came up to Chris and she said, Mr. Barnhorst, and Chris bring up, hy sê, luister tannie, sy gesê het Coca-Cola, as my Engels op. And hy's daar uit. So ons het geweier om Engels te praat. It wasn't high on the itinerary list. And there was a guy, now the name of Boy Low. So they were touring Australia and it's the first time ever that he's seen a kangaroo. At a zoo. So he was looking at this, and then at the later stage, Leon Schuster wrote a sort of a song about it. And when he was watching this kangaroo hopping past, he turned around and there was a guy standing at the back, one of the reporters, and he said, my goodness, what the mice. At the end of that year, they were in England, and he wanted to buy something nice for his wife. No, in Afrikaans, ons sê lekker ryk seepie. And he stopped and he wanted to buy something nice for his wife. So this lady was sitting there, and he asked, listen, good morning, I would like some toilet soap, please. Now she looks at him and she wants to ask him sort of what flavor do you want. And he said, well, sir, that's wonderful, but would you like it scented? I said, no, man, I'll somewhere take it with me. So, well, one of the most classic ones that I've ever heard was Frick de Pria. They were touring England and they were sitting at this black tie function. And at that table was Moff Meiberg, but he's not alive anymore. He passed away a couple of years ago. And they were sitting at this table. There was eight... Soties, sorry for the Engelse. There was eight of them and then there's two boerkies. So Moff and Frick, were sitting there. And they were serving, starters and then at one stage they had the main meal. And part of the main meal was Brussels sprouts. So, well, Moff had die ding so gekyk and he didn't know what it was. So he turned on Frick, he said, Frick, what is hierdie? So now listen, man, ask that Sotie next to you. So he turned around, he said, excuse me, what is this? And my Englishman, proper English, kijks so oor. I say, sir, that is Brussels sprouts. Don't you find Brussels sprouts in South Africa? Why, for fish almost. I say, of course we do. But in South Africa, we grow them this big, and we call it cabbage. His actual words was, we call it cabbages. That's even worse. Yeah, so it's a very long story. I know you guys are writing exam, and there's a lot of stuff going on, but hopefully you will... Let me explain it like this. If I need to give a sermon in Afrikaans, it'll take me a certain time. And it's going to take me at least 1.5 times that just to explain what I'm trying to tell because I need to do it in English. Moccasin. So it's going to be slightly longer. Is that all right? So you will bear with me. So I need a couple of things I want to share with you guys. And there's one thing that just came up because obviously I didn't know what the crowd was about. So I worked through my agents over here. And then when I got here, similar to the klomp studente. That's different. So, because I was one of those as well at Koffsies, and I remember going out every Sunday. At that stage I was at the Old Christkirk, Doxa Day, and I used to go out every Sunday when I had an altar call. And then there was a reason for it, because you're a student, you need a lot of prayer. So I was there every Sunday, and then this one guy said to me, listen, do you understand how this works? And I said, yeah, I'm going to check it, Mark. I'm going to need the boat message on this. I made sure that every time there's an altar call, I was part of it. So for me, that was great. Now I want to share something with you. When I was standing at the back, that scripture came up because of Shofar. And I'm sure maybe you've spoken about it before, but for me it's just an amazing story with Nehemiah when they were rebuilding the walls. It's just such a powerful thing. And I felt, it immediately came up because I myself, I've got a Shofar at my home. And I blow that quite often. And there's very significant things in that. And, maybe I should have brought it with. But anyway, I didn't. But I want to read a couple of things to you quickly. Listen to this. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring back the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Then Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at their side, said, what they are building, even a fox climbing up on it would break down their walls of stone. Hear us, O Lord, for we are despised. So we rebuilt the wall till all it reached half this height, for the people worked with all their heart. And when I was standing there, I thought, you know, that's such an amazing story because they were rebuilding the walls. And in our lives today, and I will share a little bit on that in family life, you know, those walls in our lives, society nowadays are broken. You know, there's a lot of opportunities for us to do things that is not in line with God's word. And what we do is we actually weaken the wall on a daily basis. So we need to rebuild that wall on values and systems and stuff that's really important. All right. But it's a great verse that I love. And I want to give this to you guys writing exam. And there's a lot of stuff coming up. And when I was sitting here and I was, you know, it really did. It was amazing to praise and worship because I just realized, you know, that specific verse that came to mind. And I want to reach verse 19 and 20. Actually, just verse 20. It says here, that's now Nehemiah 4 verse 20. Wherever you hear the sound of the shofar, the trumpet, join us there because our God will fight for us. So I want to encourage you. You know what? It's a great honor to be in part of, you know, be part of a congregation where you can serve God and can really get, you know, your food, you know, it's nice. Why? Because that will give you motivation if you go in. So you need to work hard. But just remember this. I know that this church's name is Shofar, but for me, you know, wherever you hear the sound of the shofar, wherever you hear the voice, that's when God is saying, listen, get together there, gather there. Why? Because I will fight for you. So you're not fighting alone. Going into the exams, I have made a lot of prayers when I was a student because I just had great notes, but I was, wasn't by a fluxy, but I had great notes. So there's a clump in the manner that makes a snacks cake. I know. That's the way it works when you're studying. But you know what? Work hard. You know, trust God because He will fight for you. He will give you the wisdom. He will make you calm. You know, you will, you know, when you study, you will obviously be well prepared and you will have a great exam. You've got to trust Him for that. So I just want to throw that in. That's for free. All right. Now, I thought about it, you know, a lot of times when I speak at churches, I don't want to share on the, because the drop goals and stuff, it's more for a, you know, like you've got a men's breakfast and stuff like that. But I thought maybe I'll throw it in. And I want to give you five principles in life quickly before I start with what I was actually trying to, or would like to share with you guys today. And that to me is just basic principles that I believe is important and actually motivated me when I was a student or a young person and in trusting God. Now, the first thing is, if it's to be, it's up to me. There's got to be commitment. You're not going to get even things for free in life. You know, that's just the way it is. There's no shortcuts to success. I read a book the other day, and in a book, a gentleman's writing the following. He said, it took me 20 years to become an overnight success. It took me 20 years to become an overnight success. A lot of times we want the shortcuts. There's no such thing. But a lot of times, you know, there will be fear in our hearts. And that's what the devil likes, because that's the way he operates. And what is fear? F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. So going into the exams, moenie toelaat dat vrees is deel van jou lewe word nie. You are prepared, you're doing the best you can do, but fear is not from God. All right? It's false evidence appearing real. I promise you, you will make it. Just work hard and put in the effort. And it's a fact that 92% of all our fears in life never becomes a reality. That's just a fact. The second point, your attitude in life will determine your altitude. I like this, you know, when people's got attitude. And we know a lot of guys with great attitudes. I'm just going to share one with you. Who of you sitting here has ever had KFC? Great story if you go to Al Saunders. I mean, you go and have a look at his life. And this was a guy that had a vision. And he had this wonderful recipe. And then he shared it with a lot of people. And actually he took it to a lot of guys, restaurants and those, and told him, listen, you know what? Would you like to go into a joint venture with me? And a lot of people didn't know, want to do it. And as a matter of fact, 1,009 times, he knocked at different doors, and people just said, listen, nobody would like KFC. So just raise your hand again if you had KFC in your life before. Yes, hierdie meisies, hulle maak net of hulle nie KFC gehad het. Ek love it. You know what? A man with a vision will not be denied, but it's attitude. Very important. Number three, a bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. All right, so what does that mean? It's only over when you say it's over. Doesn't matter how many times in life you fall, you just got to get up again. And a very good example of that is Sir Edmund Hillary. When he was trying to conquer Everest the first time, he was not successful. He wasn't successful. But then they had a great sort of night for him, and they had a wonderful stage, and he was standing there, and there was a picture of Everest on the one side of the wall. And he was not successful. And he took that mic, and he pointed to Everest, and he said the following words. He said, Everest, you know what? You managed to beat me the first time, but I will beat you the second time, because you've stopped growing. But I'm still growing. That's what we need in life. So yes, there was a lot of disappointments maybe in your life. But you know what? Got to do it again. Face it all over again. And you know what? Eventually you will get through. There's a, for my English friends over here, a poem that I would like to read for you guys. There's no thrill in easy sailing when the skies are clear and blue. There's no joy in merely doing things which anyone can do. But there's some satisfaction that is mighty sweet to take when you reach a destination that you thought you'd never make. Right, and there's a lot of us sitting here and say, one of them going to make it. Eventually am I going to make it. I promise you, that's got to be your goal. Got to work towards that. So you work hard, God is obviously will be there, and He will bless whatever you're putting in, and eventually you'll get there. Number four, my personal favorite. Destiny is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. The choices that you make today will determine who and what you'll be tomorrow. There was a story of two brothers, true story in America. These two brothers grew up obviously same house. They were actually twins. About 10 years after school, there was a lady that became a reporter, and she went looking for these two brothers. And when she found them, she just wanted to write a little article on these two brothers. And when she came to them, one of them was in jail, and the other one was a very successful businessman. So she came up to them and said, listen, how is it possible that one of you could make a success in your life, the other one is in jail? You know, they were facing exactly the same circumstances. But you know what's so interesting? Both of them had exactly the same answer. And the answer was, if your circumstances were like mine, what else do you expect? So one decided, listen, you know what? Whatever was handed out to me, that's not part of my inheritance. You know, my inheritance. I got to find out what God wants for my life. Start focusing on that. Started living it. Made a success of his life. Other one said, you know what? Ach, you know what? I didn't have a lot of opportunities. Poor Yanni. You know, what I'll do is go and lie down, you know, and disappear into the gutters, and people will say, oh, shame. You never had a chance. It's an attitude. It's what goes in here, what goes on inside of you. That's what needs to come out. So destiny is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. And this one, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Very, very important, especially when we're living out there. And I want to share this with you quickly. It's very important you understand this. Gary Ablett was a guy, an Australian water polo player, and he made the following statement. He said, in life, I seek approval from God, not from man. It does not matter how successful you think you are in life. Without Jesus Christ, you will always be a loser. It's an academic quote from high statement. They want to see my kinders when they're young. You do stuff that's not very cool. What will they do? Loser, loser. They love it. I didn't like that picture, but I'm going to read it again. I seek approval from God, man. It does not matter how successful you think you are in life. Without Jesus Christ, you'll always be a loser. And I just realized, you know what? There's so many promises in the Bible that God wants, you know, gave us. And you know what? We're sitting there and we're missing the point by not spending time in the Word. So what are we losing out in life? We're actually losing out on what God and God's promises. That's what we're missing out. So it's not a physical thing, you'll be a loser. You will lose out in life because God has got great plans for you. Who of you sitting here believe that? Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts and plans I have towards you, thought of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Do you believe we've got a future in our country? You must believe, because if you don't believe it, there's no need studying. Because if you think you're going to study and then disappear, go to Australia, America, whatever. I'm not saying you shouldn't go there. What I'm saying is, the best place for you to be is where God wants you to be. And if that means it's in South Africa, so be it. I went to England, and at one stage I decided, I'm going to stay here. But I tell you, they've got big issues there. Baie groter as jy dink. You know what? They've got social issues, some really tough stuff. You know, in my book, and I'm sharing on that, they think about life differently. My kids, you know, if you grow up in Bloemfontein, it gets quite cold here. You'll achterkom. Now for us, it's not a problem. But ons is vrystaterkies. Ons is nie bang nie. So now I'm in England. My kids are playing in the front lawn, barefoot. It's like 5 degrees or something. It's nie koud nie. Nie in Suid-Afrikaanse term nie. The next day, somebody knocks on the door. Welfare. Oh my word, there's been a complaint that we're actually abusing our kids. Except, we're doing what? No, your kids are running outside barefoot. I say, yeah, that's what we do in South Africa. No, but not in England. No, not in England. You know, there's so many rights. Those kids know what their rights are. They're 4 years old. I promise you this. You can have a look at it. There's kids at 6, 7 years old suing their parents because of their rights. That was a joke. I promise you. So, man, I'll tell you now. When I came back to South Africa after 2 years, I walked and I remember flying in O.R. Tambo, and it was chaos. Dinge was die mekaar. But you know what? I walked in, the first black guy I saw there, I just hugged him. I said, Jesus, I'm so happy to be back. I promise you. On my word. Now we got to love this country. I tell you now. Because you got to believe it. You know what? And that's what it's about. Where there's vision, where there's no vision, the people perish. But we need vision. It's very important. So, that's just also for free. I can nog nie eens begin nie. So wait for us. Long story. I just felt I want to share this with you. And I'm going to get to this at a later stage. So maybe you're sitting here. Yeah, okay. Excellent gebruik. I'll use it when I get to that point. All right. So let me just move my notes away here because I don't want to start all over again. Now, my wife and I, our hearts is seriously for family. And especially restoration, and that's also in the book, between, you know, relationships between parents and kids is really close to our hearts. So I want to share a little bit on that. Malachi 4:6 says that in the last days, the hearts of the fathers will turn to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And to us, it's really important. So our sort of theme is, let's create a culture of blessing. Kom ons skep 'n kultuur van seën. Okay, so let's talk about blessing. Let's talk about it. Where does it come from? It comes from the Hebrew word, baruch, which means to empower, to prosper. So when God said to Abram, I'm going to bless you, Abram, so that you can become a blessing in Genesis 12, verse 1, what he actually said was, I'm going to bless you, Abram. I'm going to empower you so that you can empower Isaac, that can empower Jacob, etc., etc., etc. So now there's a lot of young people sitting around here. So raise your hand if your parents, and most specifically your dad, actually came up to you, looked you in the eyes and said, my son, my daughter, if I look at you, this is what God is showing me about you. And I believe this is part of the destiny. I'm going to be praying about it, and I'm just going to confirm who you are in Christ, and I'm going to release you to walk in what God has called you. Raise your hand if your parents did that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is jy gebless hoor? Ek trek sommer nou terug Bloemfontein toe. You know what? 4 years ago, it was Daniel Conference in Pretoria. 4,500 men. 5 hands. 4,500 men. Our culture is poor, bottom line. We don't do it anymore. Ja, maar ons doen werk nie so nie. Cowboys don't cry, and that's unfortunately how it works. I want to share a little bit on that. I believe that we as parents, and you guys are young people hanging around, and you still, you know, obviously, jy kan nie al dink aan kinders nie, jy moet nog studeer. But anyway, for later. So put this in the memory bank. The fact of the matter is, we as parents are God's agents to do what? To establish identity and destiny in the hearts of our children. I believe that with all my heart. Okay, who am I and where am I going? Very important question. And every young person out there wants that question answered. Am I okay? Dad, mom, am I okay? I'm going to make it. You see, Satan has got another plan. His plan is simply this. He wants to keep people away from their true calling by creating a false identity. Let me explain this to you quickly. It happens quite easily. His strategy, firstly, it always starts with the family. So your parents will get divorced. There will be marriages that breaks up. Okay, so the breaking up of the family. So what did he do? Divorce, number one. Number two, job commitment. So the parents will be busy, so they cannot get to the kids. So eventually somebody else is going to confirm in that young person's life if they are okay. Now here's a scenario. Just understand quickly what I'm trying to share here. What is this? Kom julle kan, ek's 'n professor. What is this? It's a heart, okay. Now here's a scenario. Susan. Ek is altyd 'n Susan, maar moenie jou hand opsteek as jy Susan is nie. Just like, now yes, kom ons sê Susan, ons is in Engels. Yes, Susan. Okay, Susan, all right, grew up in a house where her parents got divorced. Now there's nobody to confirm who she is because her parents might, you know, obviously, this, I'll share a little bit on that now. But what happens is everybody wants to belong somewhere. Now along comes Peter, and I like Susan. So what did he say? Listen, don't you think maybe, ek weet nie wat noem hulle dit vandag nie. Ons het maar uitgegaan. So what do you call it today? Is jy uitgaan met 'n girl? Kom. What do you call it? We go steady or is 'n aanhangseltjie of sulke goed. I don't know what you call it nowadays. But bottom line is, okay? Now suddenly she belongs. She says, listen, this guy likes me. And this is cool. Because she, remember, she's got questions inside that's not been answered by her parents. Now, 6 months down the line, here comes Peter. Susan, I don't know what to tell you. Ek gaan maar teruggaan na die Afrikaans. Susan, I don't know what to tell you, but jy weet, ek het 'n ding bekyk, and quite frankly, I don't think this is going to work. Okay, so what happens to Susan? Right. Now, this is what... I'm not talking about a physical relationship. I'm actually just talking about emotional relationship. This is a fact. So what happens next? Here comes Willem. And hy sê vir Susan, I kan nie glo. I cannot believe that Peter dropped you. He's such an idiot. So what does he think? Yes, Willem, hy verstaan my. New relationship. 3 months later, Willem said cheers. And so they go, one after the other. Getting all your manners in harmony. Eventually, 6, 7, 8 relationships later. It's a fact. They'll stand. They'll actually get married. And here comes Jaco. Okay? Jaco's a good guy. But Susan, take your baggage. Because one or two things happen in her life. And then they get married. They stand in front of the, what's he? Altar. Jan Tielik. In front of the altar. And then she promises before God and before all the people that's there as guests. And she says the following. She says, Jaco, today I come to you and I just want to say, I give my whole heart to you. Julle lag. Dis lelike goed hierdie. All right, so my question, is she lying? She gives everything that she's got. Now, here's the challenge. 2, 3 years down the line, she phones up her mother and says, Mama, jy sal nie glo nie. Want dan maar hy tweede boyfriend van my. You remember Willem? Jaco. Precies is jylle. I shouldn't have married this guy. Because a reference of a wysingsraamwerk. She already had experiences that she didn't need at that stage. That's why Solomon, and it's actually funny if you think about it, he had 1,000 wives. But if you think about it, he actually wrote something that made quite sense. He said, this is my prayer above everything, that you will guard your heart. You will guard your heart. So this is my challenge, and this wasn't part of my speech today. That as a student, ek was ook een, ons is besig. Reality is this, you need to guard your heart. You've got a responsibility towards your future husband or wife to guard your heart because he or she deserves it. And you cannot give it away. So purity is power. Luister mooi na my. It's very important that you understand this. And I promise you, if you cannot control yourself, listen to this, then get married. It's one of the ways of sorting it out. It's a serious problem. But you know what? I love my wife. And I knew her from primary school. And we got married when I was 23. And I said to her, you know, the biggest mistake I made in my life is to not marry you when I was 13. Want ek het gestree vir 10 jaar, snag, snai. We were students. Luister, kom ons wees real, reality. Ek het vriende op universiteit. I've got friends. I remember we came in here. This is now, you know, Carol's idea. Moenie hierdie goed net nie uitsaai nie, asseblief. But you know, I had a friend that was, he came to, when we had university first years, they had stats on And their sort of project was to find out how does it actually work in university. And you know what? There was like 96 or 97% of the first year students in university were still virgins when they got there. And it was not on state. Okay. Anyway, that was those days. And it was quite amazing that end of the second year, that dropped down to like 34%. It was ridiculous. Why? Because remember, people want to know if they're fine. If I'm okay. So if questions are not being answered by the parents, a lot of times that young lady or man or boy or whatever will walk around and they would like that question to be answered. It's like a man, it's like a vrou. It's very important. And a lot of times you will make the wrong decisions. So there's a bit of a challenge for now. And it's rather like it's lief vir julle. Verstaan my hart, ek het vir jou deel. Because we work with people quite often. We work with Family Foundations International, my wife and I, and we sit in seminars, and I'm sitting there, and I just realized, listen to this marriage has got no chance. Here's a stat. In 1960, the divorce figure in South Africa was 1%. In 1960, I've got a friend who's a lawyer in Pretoria. He tells me, Yanni, maybe he's only in Pretoria, I don't know, but he told me the following. He said, listen, you can have a go and look now. 52% of all marriages nowadays don't reach 2 years. 52% van huwelike sneuwel voor 2 jaar. You get, and that's why people don't understand this. There's a difference between covenant and contract. A contract says, listen, you know what? This is what you got to do. If you don't do it, cheers. Covenant is, listen, I will stick with you. All right? Doesn't matter what you do. And I'm so grateful that our Heavenly Father stands in a covenant with us. Because if you had to look at my life and all the nonsense wat ek aangejaag het, and where I was out of line, man, I would never have made it. So I'm thankful for that. So that's just a little bit of advice on your future marriage that comes later. This ook for free geweest. So by the way. So let's begin with a little deal. I felt I needed to share that with you. Now. Alright. A couple of stats quickly. In 2005, we had 31,000 divorces in South Africa. That influenced more than 50,000 kids. Now listen, I want to know if I'm okay, if I'm going to make it. Important that we understand that. In 1975, 5% of women in South Africa worked. Today, 95% work. So here's the question. Who babysits the kids? Mix it. Okay, there's no O. Nisma. Mix it. Wii, PlayStation, WhatsApp, etc., etc., etc. You understand? I'm not saying there's something wrong with it. Understand what I'm saying? That becomes, especially maybe this is the wrong crowd to share this with, but bottom line is this. A lot of parents will come and say, listen, my kids are busy. They sort it. They're fine. Everything is okay. They just need to be busy. It'll be all right. It's not good enough. Your kids want you to spend time with them. I'm going to share on that a little bit. All right. You see, if those questions around identity has not been answered by the parents, and more specifically by the dad, that's when people run away. They get involved in groot woord, drugs, alcohol, etc., etc., etc. That's just the facts. Now, most divorces will also take place when the eldest kid or the eldest child in the house reaches puberty. And it was exactly the same with us. And I didn't understand that. Because primarily, a woman has got two functions. Number one is to give birth. And number two, to nurture her children. That's what mothers do. Okay? And husbands, exactly the opposite. Firstly, they confirm gender identity. And secondly, they need to release their kids into the destiny. That's what a dad should do. Very important. That's why most marriages break up. And you can have a look at the stats. You'll find that. Because that's exactly the time when a young child needs to be released. Or that going over from child to a young adult, being released into their destiny so that they know what they're going to do and achieve in life. And if the dad is not there, that's where the trouble comes. You know what? Because somebody else is now going to confirm something or speak over you as a young person when that person never had a relationship with you as a dad. Maybe, you know, your stepdad or whatever the case might be. It's difficult. So just understand that. Actually, kyk my so met vraagteken. Is it verskriklike, is it hoorgraad? Is it okay? Is it nog met my? Gaan nou by 'n lekker punt uitkom. I just want to say that, you know, God created us for a specific purpose. And we need to be released into that. I spoke about it earlier. Now, if you miss your creative purpose, as jy jou skepingsdoel mis, is die gevolg daarvan skade. If you miss your creative purpose, I promise you, the end of it will be damage. Some serious damage. And let me explain it to you like this. Pastor Alan Platt shared this briefly with us one day. He said, you take a washing machine on this side, and you take a dishwasher on this side. Okay. Both of them has got the ability to wash. You agree? All right. Now, if you go home later, take the dishes and put it in the wash machine and turn it on. How does those dishes look? Biggie scar, eh? He says, hoe kan het wees? Ding is gemaakt om te was. Not exactly the same thing. Now maybe you will be a farmer and maybe you'll be a guy wat nog ons 'n bietjie kuier van tyd tot tyd. But go and try this one. Instead of taking the bakkie, or the bakkie, to go and hunt, wat 'n bietjie springhase te gaan jaag. Instead of taking the bakkie, take the Z4 BMW. And then you try and see the next moment of the following morning when you open that garage, how did that Z4 look? It's not meant to go into the bushes. It's supposed to drive on the tar road. So the bucket can drive and the BMW can drive, but it's not exactly the same thing. And in life, it happens like that. If you were to draw a line from here directly to the sun, and you are 0.2% of a degree, 0.2 degrees out, that's a fact. You will miss the sun when you get there. It's a fact. So on the eye, it might look right, but it's not 100% right. So we need to find out what our creative purpose is. That's very, very, very important. Now, for the older people around here and those of you who are going to be future parents, one thing I got to share with you, you can forget anything that I say today, it's fine. I get no problem with it. But please remember this story. There was a guy, actually a professor at Northwest University, Professor Johan Kutsier. And he spoke at a function in Crowntown, Kroonstad. Crown City. You understand what I say? In Kroonstad. Okay? And so when he was there, he spoke about, quite interesting, they had a workshop. And it was about communication between parents and kids. And when they were done with that whole sort of workshop, there was a young boy standing up at the back of the hall. And he raised his hand and he said the following. Professor, I'm listening to what you're saying, but I just want to tell you, it's all a load of bull. That was his words. And he said, in his words, he said, yes, I can't believe that those who can say it. And he asked him, he said, son, what are you trying to tell us? And that young boy said the following. He said, sir, will you please give our parents the key in life? And he said, well, share with us what is the key. And that young boy said the following words. He said, sir, will you please tell our parents that they owe us more than their money and their absence? That's the key. Our kids need us. Now, you guys might not experience this in Bloemfontein, but I can give you a couple of examples. There was a case not too long ago, Mainland Shopping Center in Pretoria, where there was young kids, two of them, where their parents are so busy with their own things. They dropped their kids on Saturday morning at the shopping center, both of them, $5,000 in their pockets, those two kids. And the parents just say, listen, I'm going to drop you off. I'll pick you up tonight at 10 o'clock. So you know what? It's great. My parents are giving me money to do what? And those kids get involved with the wrong stuff. Because they're not interested in the money. But there's no parents for them. So that's important that we understand that. Now, for the manne, bietjie van 'n challenge. Question for you, the younger guys. What is a man? Sê gou bietjie vir my. Wat is 'n man? Dis 'n nie maklike vraag om te antwoord nie. There was a guy by the name of Sam Rayburn. Sam Rayburn, this guy lived around the turn of the century, 1900, in America. And he said his biggest blessing and dilemma was exactly on the same day. Because he was a young guy on his way to university. So he was standing on a station, get onto the train and go to university. And then his dad, and they were farmers, and it was not a successful story at all. So they didn't have any money. But for some other reason, when he was standing there, his dad came up to him at $25. Now, in the year 1900, $25 was a lot of money. And he had $25 in his hand, and he shook his son's hand, and he said the following, Sam, be a man. That's it. So now he's traveling on his way to university, and then he just realized, you know what, my dad loves me. Because how did he get this $25? There was no money at that stage. So his dad put it away so that he can go and study. So he think, maybe my dad loved me. So it's a bit of a blessing there. But his biggest dilemma, he just realized there, I've got no idea what a man is like. Hy het geen verwysingsraamwerk van wat het is om 'n man te wees nie. And that is the challenge that we're sitting with today. And that's why you'll find the following. In America, on death row, electric chair. Spoke to a guy the other day. They still do it, apparently. 90% of the men in America that needs to fight their, you know, it's on death row. 90% of them had no relationship with their earthly fathers. 90%. In South Africa, 95% of the convicts, inmates, no relationship with their earthly fathers. So how do we expect it's going to change? We need to create a new culture. That's what we need to do. That's where our hearts is, to create a culture of blessing. To create that, we need to change. Very, very important. Now here's a poem again for my English friends. Kijk, ek dink aan julle, nee, ek het hierdie goed ingeskryf. Luister gou. What is a man? First one. Is he someone who's strong and tall, and or taught and talented as he plays ball? Is he someone who's hardened and rough, who smokes and drinks and swears enough? Is he someone who chases women hard with a quest to conquer, but never dropping his guard? Is he someone with a good business mind who gets ahead of others with his nose to the grind? Or is he just someone who tries his best, not really caring about any of the rest? What is a man? Does anyone know? Tell me, who is the prototype? To whom shall I go? This is a question. A young boy, a vraag. Sê vir my. You know what's a strategy? In our family life, this is a fact. Nobody else is going to impress your child more than yourself. So what your dad is saying, or what that boy is actually saying, listen, dad, is there something in your life that I can hold on to, a characteristic, something that I can use in my journey? And that's what we need to get to. It's really, really, really important. Now, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15 says the following. Even though we might have 10,000 teachers, we don't have many fathers. Yeah. You know what's the difference? A teacher tells you stuff. And ek is baie lief vir die onderwys. Baie mense wat ek ken. A teacher tells you stuff. A father shows you stuff. Groot verskil. Who of you guys know who's Norgay Tenzing? Steek jou hand op as jy weet wie is Norgay Tenzing. Daar is hy. Baie min mense weet. But if I was to ask you, who is Sir Edmund Hillary? Ek het nou vroeger daaroor gepraat. Wie is hy? Everest uitgeklim, ne? So immediately people can make the connotation. But you go and read the autobiography of Sir Edmund Hillary. Then he says the following. He talks about a guy, Norgay Tenzing, which was the Sherpa, the guy that took him up Everest. And he says the following, and Norgay pulled me up to my summit. Okay, maar wie, who got all the accolades? Sir Edmund Hillary. When in fact, the guy that should get all the praise is the guy that took him up the mountain. Then you read, not too long after that, about 2 weeks after that, there's an article in the Daily Telegraph in England that says the following. As Hillary came back to England to be knighted, Norgay went down the mountain to fetch the next group. Dis wat ons nodig het. Ons het daai manne nodig. So I want to volunteer. Ek weet dis nou nie kindertjies nie. Ek soek die jongste seentjie wat hierso is. Ja, oké, okay, hierdie kraat gaan nie werk nie. Ek gaan gou kyk. Wie kan ek gebruik? Kenneth, kom gou hierso. Kom gou hierso. Daai man is my social media guy. Kyk, ek hou maar dit is kom met die ek is lief vir die Vrystaat, maar ek sê vir jou, ek het eers gister vir eerste keer geweet hoe werk WhatsApp. So, standaard. Right, this is now my son. Not really, Kenneth. But I use him, I'll take a young boy or whatever. No? And he listens to what I'm saying. You understand, Kenneth? No? You listen. Okay, doen gou vir pa twee push-ups daar. Kom. And, Jannieke, and twee. Prachtig. Rug is nie helemaal reg nie, maar dis okay. Ons sal werk aan. This is my question. Did I help him? I told him what to do. But I should have actually said, no, come, let me show you. This is the way we should do it. You know what? As jy een ding kan leer as 'n student, luister gou-gou mooi. If you can do the following thing, right, as a parent, man, I'll tell you, there was a lot of positive stuff that will happen to you because you can go back and I can chat to him and I can tell him what to do. But the most important thing is to find out from God, what is his purpose? What is his purpose? Why is he being created? Dis nogal belangrik. If you go to the Bible, you'll find before Samson's birth, the angel appeared to his mother. And then afterwards, her husband. Nou, ek is nie 'n teoloog nie, but maybe Pastor Ellis, you will know. I think Samson's dad's name was Manoah or something. I don't know if it's close. Manoah. Or so. Ek sal weer gaan check. But anyway. And then what he said to his wife, he said, listen, you know what? If that angel appears to you again, then you call me. So when it happened, she was running. She went running to him. And when he stood in front of the angel, what did he ask him? He said, okay, that's great, but then he said, made the following statement. Tell me, what is his purpose? What should he do? It's all about what are you created for. That's important. So my purpose as a dad is not for my kids, and I told him straight. It's not, Jannie de Beer se kinders se kinders. My vrou het dit gehad, toe ons studente was. Eendag sê, okay, aangenaam, hierdie is Jannie de Beer se vrou. Toe sê sy, luister, skies tog. Nee, ek is Wiekie de Beer, en hierdie is my man. Toe sê ek like it. Ek like het. Want weet jy wat, jy moet jou eie spore trap. You cannot, jy moet jou eie voetsporetjies trap, man. But the reality is that you got to be released into that. It helps. But the purpose as a dad, or as parents, is the following. Why are you moving away? Stand so. Waar gaat jy? The purpose, it's very important that we understand this principle. And that you can find out what's God's purpose for your children. So that you can speak about it, trust God for it, and then release them into that calling. So my purpose is this. Kom, Kenneth, jou oester. Kom hier. Yes, fantastic. Dat maak jou groot. Goed. Okay, here's the challenge. One day when you're standing there, and you're going to be parents as well, and when your son or daughter is standing there, you can say, Father, you know what? I just thank you for Kenny. Your oyster. You know what? And you stand next to him and say, Father, you know what? Thank you for what you've done in his life. Thank you for blessing him. Thank you that he's such a blessing. And I just pray your protection over him, your guidance, and thank you for releasing him into whatever you guys spoke about and shared time to establish in his heart. Because he's not going to run around. Be part of the group that runs around not knowing who they are. So you got to find out who you are in Christ. And then you got to confirm that and you got to start running. That's where you got to go. Because otherwise, you'll be one of the others. Like I said earlier, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. So that's what we got to do. And it's going to be a huge challenge. And if you're a student, it's even a bigger challenge. I know. I've been there. Sympathy. I'll pray for you guys. But you got to understand this. This is what we got to do. And if you can stand next to him and say, this is my son. I'm well. And ek is so opgewonde what you become and where you're going. That's the purpose. So we need to understand that. And even the Lord Jesus Christ, when did he do all the wonders? After he's been released by our Heavenly Father, that said, that is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. We got to understand that principle. So there is a release that's got to take place. All right, does it make sense? Awesome. Kom ons gee vir Kenny lekker 'n klap. Love you. Yes. Okay. If I work the sums out quickly, it's like 14 minutes, 23 seconds. And we're done. I'm going to do my best try here. Right. I want to show you something quickly, my friend Nikki daar achter. If you can just get that one clip. I want to show you a ceremony where a dad comes and he blesses his daughter. So that you can understand what I mean. And there's one question that I want to ask you. That young person, do you think she knows who she is? That's my question. We'll chat about it afterwards. So if we can have a look at this quickly. Ek hoop jy het hulle sakdoeke gebring. Trane trekkertjie. Ek huil altyd. Daarom kyk ek daai kant toe. So, ek weet nie van julle nie, maar vir my is dit baie special. It's really special. You know what? It's an impartation of blessing that should take place. It's a release into destiny. And we miss this because, you know, it's not part of our culture. So we just let it go. It's a child going into becoming a young adult. You know what? We've done it with my daughter. And she understands a couple of principles. We spoke about a lot of stuff. And I can, you know, I promise you, it's amazing when you see that. That's my question, coming back. Do you know there's a young man out there Do you think, let me rather say, do you think there's a young man out there that can answer that question in her heart if she's okay? Why? Because her father prayed it over her. He shared it that he's proud of her. And they pray together and they trust God for that impartation to take place. So you know what? And I'm not against relationships, as a belief. As Tom and Moise could say. You know, we cannot now suddenly go and go to a little retreat, a little huddle or whatever. This is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is guard your heart. And do not get involved in relationships because you are a broken person. Because there's a book. And the book's name is Two Fleas and No Dog. So let me explain it. A lot of times, people will go, ek was ook daar. Ons het nie die shofar kerk gehad in my tyd nie, maar ons het die NG kerk daar by campus gehad. So, ek was nie so NG lidmaat nie, but I was there. Why? Because I was a flea, looking for a dog that I can latch on to for the rest of my life. And then at one stage in my life, I realized, you know what? You know what's the problem? In that book, it's quite interesting, a book by Craig Hill, he talks about that. A lot of people think, you must hear people say, you know what, this girl or this guy, they complete me. He completes me or she completes me. Rubbish, man. You know what happens? It's a person who thinks I'm going to latch onto this person and then I'm going to suck the blood out of this person for the rest of my life. I'm sorted. And then you start working at this quite hard. And then after 2 months or 3 months, you realize, geez, you know what? I thought it was a dog. It's just another flea. And you got a problem. Because now there's two fleas sucking the life out of each other. So two fleas, no dog. Does it make sense? So as jy nou vlooi is, luister gou mooi. Sort eerder jou lewe uit. Sort your life out first. So that you can be a blessing for somebody else. Not a burden. And I know it's not easy. Because a lot of us go through a lot of tough things. Daar gebeur slegte dinge met mense. I cannot explain it. You know, my story is one story. But I listen to other people's story and I think, Father, you know what? I cannot understand that guy or that girl could make it. It's just unrealistic. And I don't think. But you know what? Then there's a scripture in the Word where God says, you know what? I will not allow you to be tested beyond what you can handle. So with that comes a responsibility. Because our Heavenly Father actually indirectly says the following. I've got enough trust in you that you can make it. And that's what he did with Job. When he said, listen, it's fine, go. I knew he's righteous and he will stand up. And you out there, wherever you are, and Heavenly Father knows that you're going to make it. And you've got to trust him for that. All right, I didn't even get to the point where I need to give my testimony. Because that is in the book. I want to give you a short thing. This, our hearts is for family and to get this sorted out. So that people can be released. That we can restore our culture. That's important to us. All right, but this is my story in short. And I'm going to so kort as moontlik try hou. My parents got married when they were quite young. My mother was 6 years old or 10 years old when her mother passed away. She and her stepmom, though al het nie gejel nie. Okay. When she was 16 years old, her dad passed away. So she walked away. She met my dad. My mother was 18. My sister was born 19. I was born 20. My brother was born. So my mom was 20 years old. Wie van julle is 20 hierso? Okay. Would you like the responsibility to have 3 kids? Nee. But you know what? For us it was normal. That's well, not for us. Because as jy groot word in die goudvelde met die myne, so ek het 'n bietjie van 'n agter, wat sou ek sê, agter verkeerde kant van die treinspoor, if you understand what I'm saying. That's what happened. But it was okay, because I didn't know. Ek het nie van beter geweet nie. That was just the facts. Okay, then my mother and my dad, they drank quite heavily. My dad was an alcoholic. Then eventually, when I was in high school, my parents got divorced, and there was a problem. Because my dad just kept on drinking. All right? And I didn't see him for 4, 5, 6 years. Then my mother passed away. I was the first year in university. And then people asked, but how could you study? Because we didn't have money. My mother received a pension from the state of 360 rand a month. And the flat that we lived in Oudenhulsrus, cost us 350 rand a month. So 10 rand, 3 kids through high school, you go make the sums. Gaan nie werk nie. And then I got a bursary to come and study, which was a blessing. And then I started at university. In my second or third year in university, my dad was there. He came to the fore. My mother passed away in the meantime. Okay, my dad came and he claimed me as his son. And I had some serious issues with my dad. When I was not happy with his leefstyl and his manier van goed doen nie. As a matter of fact, He was still continuing drinking. It was tough. And I went down to Parkweg Police Station. And I got an interdict against my dad when I was playing for Free State. I didn't want him near me. That's a fact. I decided to guard my heart. Now remember, my wife today, my girlfriend then, she knows exactly our family set up because we went to church, etc., etc. So we made a decision. I thought it was the right thing to do. Long story short, in 1994, I attended a meeting where the pastor said the following. He said, we need to make right. It was all about forgiving and forgiveness and to deal with that. So I went looking for my dad. So when I saw him, I said the following, Dad, I forgive you for what you've done to us. And it felt great. I was off the hook. But somehow, it didn't work for my dad. And I didn't understand it. As a matter of fact, it became worse. 10 years down the line, 2004, I asked my wife, Skatty, wat wil jy vir jou verjaarsdag hê? Manne, gevaarlike vraag. Moenie daai vraag vra nie. She said, I want you to come with me on the seminar. I said, okay, cool. What it's about? Family life. No, cool. And then that pastor said something that just hit me straight in the heart. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against what? Nie die duivel nie. The schemes of the devil. And he explained it. Now this guy is an American guy, but in South African context, this is a farmer. He went to the city, or let me rather say, it was 6 months since he actually went to the city. And then he decided to treat his wife. They go for a milkshake at the Wimpy. So ek gaan nou Suid-Afrikaanse terme vir julle verduidelik. So when they got there, they were quite keen because they quite like milkshake. It's quite nice. So when he walked in, you know, he asked his wife, what do you like? So he said, strawberry milkshake. Okay, make it a large. So he looked up, strawberry milkshake large. 30 rand. Jeez, no. Nee, ek betaal nie 30 rand vir 'n milkshake nie, hoor. Jy lag. What is the message that the wife got? Did you just say, I'm not worth 30 rand? Wat sê die vrouens? Ja, dis wat hy gesê het. Nou, ek verstaan dit tot vandag toe nog nie. What he actually said was, since the last time we actually came to the city, his milkshakes het nogal duur geword. So, topically, you might be right. But the relational message that gets sent to the wife stinks. And that is a scheme. So in our daily life, we'll have schemes daily where people will say things or you will take it up the wrong way. Dit gebeur daagliks, ek beloof jou. And I realized, listen, in 94, when I went to my dad and said, Dad, I forgive you for what you've done to us. And I felt great. I was off the hook. My dad was not. Because I realized I didn't bless him. As a matter of fact, I cursed his identity. Because the devil came and he said to my dad, what did he hear? Your son said he'll forgive you. Not a problem. But he just wants to remind you of what you've done to them as a family and to him. And my dad, not being proud of his life, and a man wat sukkel, to say, verwerpvol, you know, he's, I don't know what the English word is, nie. Help me. He feel rejected. Now his son comes and says, I forgive you, but I just reject you once again. So my dad grabbed onto that thing and he ran with that for 10 years. It became even worse. Now in my heart, I'd said, listen, I guard my heart. So if people phone me up, I said, my dad will fine. He will come around. Don't worry. My dad will be okay. Because I tried to honor God. So when I did it, I didn't want to go back. The bottom line is, without knowing it, with good intentions, I cursed my dad's identity. So when I was standing there in 2004, and this is quite amazing. Julle weet waar die glaspaleis is, né? Die munisipale. Nou ja, hulle het nou aan die kant heininge en goed. But those years, they didn't have that. Because that's where all the trams, die boemelaars, is vallen uithang. And this is the fact. When I came to my dad, he shared with me afterwards, 2 weeks before I actually spoke to him, being an alcoholic, being on the op die strate, that's where my dad was, in Bloemfontein. And I'm sitting high and holy in Pretoria, building my own mansions, not worrying and caring about my dad, lying on the street somewhere. I didn't even know about it. And then I went looking for my dad. And I said, Dad, forgive me. Forgive me for not knowing what you went through. Forgive me for hardening my heart towards you. Forgive me for judging you. And I did. And in Dad, above all, forgive me for not honoring you as my dad. And it was not easy because I did not agree with my dad's lifestyle. 2004. 3 years later, we had a ceremony where I blessed my dad. My sister wrote a letter to my dad. We blessed him. I didn't have photos in my house of my dad because I didn't want to expose my kids. And that changed in totality. My dad stopped drinking. He stopped smoking. today, businessman in Bloemfontein, very successful. Well, not in, for me, it is a success story. My dad has got his own business, 2 cars paid off. He stays out, Bloemspruit on a plot. But you know what? 900 rand a month, including water and electricity. God is blessing him. He got married again. My stepbrother, you can find him, he'll be in Heiderdal on Saturday, where they will be throwing the gospel, 10, 15, 20 young colored people giving the heart to the Lord every weekend. That's what happens, just around the corner. And I realized, you know what, I had an opportunity. And God just came and he took my hardened heart, he took it out, gave me a heart of flesh. And he said, reach out to your dad. So my life story, to sum up, that book, it's about rugby. Yes, humble beginnings, a little bit of success. Then business, we've done well. Business, after 10 years, went down. Recession, it hit us hard. I hit the ground head first. It's hard to fall. But you know what? I wanted to give my children what my parents didn't give us. That was my drive in life. So I made a vow, I'm going to do it. Wrong motives. And when I hit the ground, started recovering. The process has been great, I must tell you. And now I'm standing here in front of you and I can say this, I'm content with whatever God is trusting me with. And he gives us wisdom to manage the money right and to make good and wise decisions. And that book over there, High Five, is about two things. Number one, the 5 drop goals against England. Yes, the rugby story, because people want to know it. How did he get there? But secondly, if you give somebody a high five, what do you tell them? It's a celebration. Yes, we're excited. And for me, the celebration in that book is the restored relationship with my dad. That is a celebration in my heart. And you know what? A lot of rugby stuff, and in the end, there's my story with my dad and the restoration that took place and why it's important and what do we have to do if we want to pick up families around us and we want to heal our nation. That is our heart. That's why that book was written. Not in 1999, because it would have been a half a story. But it's now a circle at Voltooius. But goeie successe, and then we made a couple of mistakes, and then we God restored us, and we're back where I believe God wants us to be. So that is the important bit. And why 5? Why the you know, why the figure? This must not say for 5. Why that? Sorry, nie lag nie. Ons sukkel met die Brits. But why 5? I always wondered about it. 3-4 years ago, my wife and I was in Israel. I asked this one gentleman, I said, listen, what is the significance of the number 5? That is the number. The number 5. Why is it important? What does it mean? And that gentleman shared with me. He said, Yanni, you know what? The number 5 got all to do with grace. And if I'm standing in front of you, I tell you my story, our family being united, whatever, it's everything to do with grace. It's not about the person. The grace of God is the one that changes everything. Now, last story. On my best try. I need to leave this with you guys because I don't want you just to run out here. I'm not going to do an altar call or anything. Not me, anyways. But hang on. I want to share a little bit, just something quickly with you. You guys are too young, but for the older folks sitting around, who of you could remember who Groenie die Draakie? Steek jou hand op as jy vir Groenie die Draakie onthou. Onthou jy vir hom? Wat wil hy word? Dankie. A brandweerman. He had a passion. The passion was so great. He started his own fires and then he extinguished it again. Great. So he was busy the whole day. That was our animation when we were kids. But you know what? That guy had so much passion. I actually had to make a decision between becoming a firefighter or a rugby player. I promise you. I was so motivated by that. And you're sitting here, maybe all the people as well, and you had dreams inside of becoming a great husband for your wife, wife for your husband, just a dad for your kids, maybe just a successful businessman or a lawyer or a teacher or a pastor for that matter. But somewhere along the line, the devil came in and he came and stole that dream that was inside here. He took it out because he's the father of the schemes and he comes and wants to establish something in your life. And a good example of that, who of you have seen Lion King 1? Yeah, onthou jy vir Simba? What was his purpose? What did he want to become? Julle het dit nie gesien nie, as jy nie dit onthou nie. He wanted to become the king of Pride Rock. That was his dad's dream, for him to become king. His uncle Scar had exactly the same dream. He wanted to become king. So he had that stampede arranged with Mufasa, Simba's dad in the middle, so he dies. He turns around. What does he tell Simba? It's your fault. Hardloop. So he ran away. Okay? He met two guys. Who were they? Pumba and Timon. Now what is hierdie pere se motto in die lewe? Hakuna Matata. No worries. No worries. Talk about a false identity. A young lion. Now I'm explaining this to people. I said, listen, you go back 3-4 years. You go to the Lions rugby team. They were a team without identity. They didn't know who they are. Now that's exactly where Simba was. Because he's running around, a young lion, not knowing who he is. And he's scratching the ground, eating worms, catching little insects, thinking he's one of them. Gee. Praat van 'n valse identiteit. Hierdie ou het nie 'n klou wie hy is nie. And it was a confrontation with a baboon. Wie was hy? Rafiki. Wat ons so met die knopkie hier oor die kop geslaan het. Nou luister. He took him on a little journey, and I don't agree with all that super stuff, superstitious stuff and meditation and whatever, but in that is a message. He took him on a journey, and then suddenly his dad's picture, you know, that came out of the water, and his dad spoke, and what did he say? Simba, you became less than what you were supposed to become. You remember that? Stand up. Take your place in the circle of life. That's what he said. And then the whole story changed. Okay. Ons het 'n groepie daar wat lekker lag. Ek hoop is okay. Maar vir die ouens wat fokus aan hierdie kant, sal ek nou met hulle ver. You know what? He stood up. Made a difference. Now you're sitting here today. You've got great dreams. There's certain things that's going to happen. And I promise you, I'm trusting God together with you guys that it's going to happen. But you've got to understand a couple of things. You've got to make decisions, some serious decisions. And then you got to focus. And you know what? Because God wants you. He's got great plans for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts and plans I have towards you. Thought of good, not of evil, to give you hope and a future. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. All the days of your life. Do you believe that? So as you loop, if you're running out there, and then suddenly you feel you're alone, he says goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of life. You can turn around and they will be there. His greatness, His goodness, His mercy every day. All right. I want to show you a video clip, and we're going to, and after this, I'm going to be done. Just be careful, and they begin nogal hard. But this is of a guy by the name of Paul Potts. A lot of people know this guy. Nah. But this is a great example of somebody that does not believe in themselves. But the moment they open their mouth, something great happens. So my question is, what is inside of you that the world out there needs? So we've got to get back to that point. So all those old dreams, the stuff that God gave you, promises that people spoke over your life, got to stand up and take what is your rightful place. So let's have a look at this, and then I'm going to be done. Ek beloof.
I tell my mobile phones, my dream is to spend my life doing what I feel that I was born to do.
Paul, what are you here for today, Paul?
To sing opera. I've always wanted to sing as a career. Confidence has always been sort of like a difficult thing for me. I've always found it a little bit difficult to be completely confident in myself.
Ready when you are.
Thank you.
Leon Ferreira. So the song that he sings, Afrikaans. My pa is die koning. Okay, no, sorry. My pa is die koning van die hele al jy weet. En kom wat wil. Sal dit nooit vergeet nie. Die wind kan waai, die berge kan val. Hy voorsien. Okay. Hy sê hy sal voorsien en hy sal. Dis wat ek wil sê. Sorry, ek is nie Leon Ferreira nie, maar kan hy woordjies onthou. Realiteit is this, you know what? Even if you don't believe in yourself, remember God does. God does. He will believe in you like you will not believe. And you honor Him by going out there, giving your best, making a couple of sacrifices. You honor God. All right. Important that we understand that. All right. So there's three challenges today. Number one, maybe you're not, obviously not a parent yet. But you know what? Go and bless your parents. Sê gou vir my, wie van julle wat hier sit, wie wil graag hê dit moet goed gaan met jou? Net julle twee. Okay. Alright, bye. Okay, who of you would like a great life and would like to be blessed? Okay, great. Alright, 17. It's important that we understand it, so where do you start? Deuteronomy. Honor your parents. Eer jou vader en jou moeder, sodat jy lang kan lewe en dat met jou kan goed gaan. So if you want a good life, you want to be blessed, honor your parents. Ja, maar jy ken nie my pa nie. Nee, dit is so. Ek verstaan dit. Everybody's got a story to tell. But it's not, the bottom line is not what your parents did to you. It's who they are. Because one day, they will stand before God. And they need to explain what they did and why they did things. But for you, honor them. And you know what? Just one thing. A lot of times, our parents did not know anything better. So, you want your dad to bless you, but if your granddad did not bless your dad, it's going to be a challenge. So, how do you change that? By blessing your parents. Write a letter. Say, Ma, Pa, you know what? You guys are so special. Positive stuff. Nee, you don't start off positive, positive, and say, ja, Ma, Pa, ek wil net vir jou sê, ek nog eindig bietjie gehad vir oor hy dag. Dit is gaan nie werk. You don't do that. You... Positive stuff. Thanks, Dad, for doing this. Thanks, Mom, for being there. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you, Lord. I want to honor you. And this is one characteristic in your life that I want to take forward. You honor them by doing that. And I promise you, their hearts will open. Because a lot of us say, no, no, no. But my parents, it's difficult to chat to them. I had a guy today, an hour and a half counseling, to try and get him to understand what it's about. And I said, go and write a letter. Give it to your dad. And we're going to trust God that his heart will change. And your parents, your dad will reach out to you afterwards. That's the way to do it. So we need to bless our parents. Okay. That's the one thing. Secondly, unforgiveness, bitterness. Ek het 'n hart van klip gehad. I promise you there's only one loser. And it's a guy. Running around with the offense. We gotta let go. When my kids were young, gotta share this quickly. We wanted to explain to them to not hold grudges. And if people offend you or say something about you, that you don't take it personally. Because when they're at school, hy kinders haal mekaar uit. As jy rugby speel, en jy het sulke maar beentjies, en jy speel vleel, dan sê die ouens vir jou, jou beentjies lyk soos jou nommer op jou rug. Julle verstaan? Hierso by, dit is wat die ouens vir jou sal sê, want jy is maar. So people will take it, mense sal jou offend dagliks. That will happen. But it's important that we don't take that. And we need to deal with that. And you speak people free. You need to release them. So my kids were young. We were staying just around the corner. 5 years old, my seentjie, 7 my dogter. So my wife had something that she called, we've got a session once a week where we sort out die varkies en die harkies moet uitkom. Luister. And then she explained it to them. She said, listen, people will come and they will say something. And then you will feel bitter and you will be mad and you will cross. Ek wil hierdie ou slaan. Okay, so die varkie kom en hy kom staan die buitenkant en hy klop in jou hart. En hy sê, yes, no vies. En dan sê, ja, ja, ja. En dan nooi hom in. And then he's sitting there. And 2-3 days down the road, you see that guy again or that whatever. And die varkie word groter because he's hungry. He wants some food. And eventually you're sitting with this pig. In Afrikaans sê ons hierdie landras vark. Hy ding is so groot, nee. Jy kan hom nie uit jou hart, uit jou lewe uitkry nie. So you need to deal with that. So I went to my kids. And we started with that. I didn't understand it. So I said, anybody's got a farki in the harki? So my wife, and it's cool. And then my wife said, yeah, I've got a problem with you because over the phone you No. And then I have to repent. So we did it. We showed them examples. My kids didn't take, you know, I didn't understand. four or five sessions later, sitting there, and I said one evening, enig een van julle varkie? En my seun sê, pa, ek het 'n varkie. Jesus maak is opgewonde, hy is 5. Ek sê, dis fantasties, prys die Here, dis fantasties. Ek sê, wat weet jy varkie? En jou pa teen jou. Cannot be. I'm a good dog. Cannot be. Ek sê, what are you trying to say? Hy sê, pa, I just want to say, in Afrikaans. Hy sê, pa, ek is nie 'n baba nie. Ek sê, verseker is jy nie. Divan, seeker of wisdom. Dis wat jou naam beteken, wysheid van God. Pa. Dis nie wat jy gesê het nie. Ek sê, when did I say this? He took me back to the Tuesday. This was the Friday. 3 days before that. We were, you know, he had his shoelaces tied. I had to go and drop him off at the pre-primary. And he didn't like the shoelaces. So I said to him, are you happy with that? He said, no. Nee, is nie lekker nie. Ek sê, moet ek kom oor doen? Hy sê, ja, maak hom oor. Ek sê, hoe lyk hy nou? Nee, hy werk nie. Doen hom weer. And about the third time, I said, that's it, let's go. Yes, and he said, my school feet is nie lekker. Got into the car. So we're driving off. And he's crying, my school feet is. And I turn around. I said, Divan, asseblief, man, bly stil. Jy is nie 'n baba nie. And I remember him going, and he's quiet. And I said, yeah, praise God. Godly wisdom. Sort it out like that. And I felt good. Ek het mos nou uitgesort. You know what? And then he took me back to that story and I realized, you know what? Without doing it intentionally, I actually said something about him that's not true. He's not a baby anymore. But in his heart, now the devil comes in and say, jy dink jy's 'n eister want jou pa sê jy's 'n eister, maar eintlik is jy 'n klein babietjie. So he took that lie. Same thing had happened to my dad. So I was sitting there 3 days later, went on my knees before my son, and I said, Buddha, verstaan ek het reg? Toe papa vir jou gesê het, jy moet stil bly, jy is nie 'n baba nie. Hoe het jou laat voel? Nee, nie goed nie. Ek sê, van wie wat? Dit is nie my intentie gewees nie. Because that's not who you are. So I cancel all those words. But I want to confirm who you are. And I blessed him. I prayed over him. And he stood up. You know, till today, not even once does he mention that. But I'm sitting with people, Family Foundation International, and there's a guy, 60, 70 years old, but in his heart, he's still a child. Because somebody said something about him that influenced his life, and it became part of his being, and he took it and he ran with it. Last story, sorry. I was in grade one, okay, and Oudenhulsrus in die Goudvelde. So we moved to Western Transvaal. So when I got there, in die Vrystaat, ek sê altyd vir die man, in die Vrystaat het jy twee goed wat jy in graad 1 doen. Nommer 1, jy speel met klei. Nommer 2, speel rugby. Daai twee goed. Nou kom ek aan in die Wes-Transvaal. And I was sitting there and this teacher came up and said, listen, okay, new kid, great stuff. Kom staan hier voor, kom gevoor toe. And I was standing there and she asked me the following. She said, listen, please, nou wat is dit nou? Sound, ja. Klank. Sound. Yes. Jy verstaan hy link. Klank gou vir juffrou. Klonk. Juffrou, wat is dit? Ek is nou graad 1. Ek het nie sorry. Juffrou, ek weet nie wat dit is nie. Jy weet, ek het nou nie so gesê nie. Bottom line is, ek weet nie wat dit is nie. Sy vra vir my, so where do you come from? Waar kom jy vandaan? Ek sê, juffrou, daar in die Vrystaat, die Goudvelde. Sy sê, oh my heen. Sy sê, hier is nog 'n dommetjie. Gaan sit gou daar agter in die klas. Feite. Jy lag. Ek sê julle uitroep en sê kom deel 'n bietjie jou shame wat jy in jou lewe ervaar het. Waar iemand goed van jou gesê het. En weet jy wat, ek was die domste in graad 1. Want hoekom? Juffrou Swanepoel het so gesê. Nou wie gee vir juffrou Sarah Swanepoel die reg? As my hemelse vader sê, nee, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So wie se report gaan jy glo? Versta jy? Graad 2, juffrou Pinaar. Maar ons nie ekstra klasse gehad daai tyd nie. Maar hy juffrou het gesê, luister Boeta, dis hoe die klankstories werk. Ons gaan gou uitsort. En ek wil nie vir sy nie vir haar juffrou was nie. Sy is nou intussen oorlede. As nie vir haar was nie, ek nooit vir mense gepraat nie. Because I had an opportunity. One year after somebody said, you're the stupidest guy in school, somebody believed in me. Verstaan gewoon. But you're sitting here and there's a lot of stuff in your life that people said about you. And then you hear that and you say, it's not part of my package. And then somebody confirms it 2-3 years down the line. And dan enig sê ou vir jou, yes, maar jy is nie die skerpste potlood in die pakkie. And then you think, yeah, kom. So nou dan dink, juffrou Swanepoel het ook so gesê in graad 1. And immediately that thing boils up again. And one takes it and runs with it. And we need to stop that. Because you need to get a picture, number 3, of who your heavenly father says you are. Wat sê hy van jou? Want weet jy wat, ek stel net belang in een opinie oor my. Dis God se opinie, nie mense sinne nie. Want mense het issuekies, my hemelse Vader het nie. Hy is nie aannemer van persoon nie, maar hy sê, I love you. You are special. I called you by the name. You are mine. And I just want to say this, you guys are really special. And it's wonderful to see that the, you know man, ek sê vir jou, as ek 'n student was, was ek hier. Bly jy, en dis nie vir die girls nie, asseblief. Ek sê vir jou, ek sou hier gewees het, because there's a vibe, there's something positive. You know what, you need that. We need that. So let's cherish it while it's here. But we got to stand up there and make a statement. Because if you don't going to change, nothing is going to change. That's the way the life works. Life works. Okay. So it's great to be here. Love you guys. This boek aan die agterkant gewoonlik 150 is die loonsprys en hy bly ook sommer by dit. So it's my life story, a bit of history and then family life and you know to get that sorted out. I will sign it personally. Beloof, ek sal dit doen. You can give it to somebody for Christmas if you want. Pastor Alistair, thank you very much for having me. It's been great being here. You guys been a blessing and lekker leer en suksese in die naam van Jesus. Amen.